This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, attempt to pull Excalibur out of the linguistic stone.
It won't budge. It won't budge.
Coming up in today's show is possibly the very reason why you listen to this show. Here's an etymological request from listener Gav, who says, my four-year-old just asked, does bully come from bull? Good question, child of Gav, to which the immediate answer is no. Bully is not to do with bull, the bovine male, which is from the Old English word for the same, bulla. It's not from a papal bull, which is from a medieval Latin word for a sealed document, bulla, from the older Latin for a round blob, presumably referring to the raised wax seal on the document. Nor is bully from the bull that people talk, which could be from the medieval Latin bulla, a game or a jape, or from the old French bull, meaning deception or scheming. So that was a surprise to me, that that kind of bull is also not referring to the animals, or what comes out of their bottoms. But I was more surprised that bully, when it was first around in English some 500 years ago, meant a sweetheart or a beloved friend, from the Middle Dutch bull, a lover. It's not fully clear how bully turned from loving to bullying by the late 17th century, but the most plausible explanation I've seen is that bully was a term for the person who protected a sex worker, like a pimp, which does take you right from the love sense to the intimidation sense in one swift move. Oh, and the bully in Bully Beef doesn't have anything to do with bullies or bulls. It's an anglicisation of bully, the French for boiled. So there you go, child of Gav, a load of old bull. On with the show. Listeners who have the stamina to last the full 15 to 20 minutes of this show know that at the end of every episode, I read out a randomly selected word from the dictionary. And people often ask, is that word genuinely a randomly selected word, or am I using some sort of algorithm? Of course, when the show has a bigger budget, I'll be delegating the whole thing to algorithms, including these bits. But at the moment, I'm stuck with the manual drudgery of randomly opening a dictionary myself. Every day since 1999, dictionary.com has been publishing a word of the day. For them, finding one is a touch more complex than just opening the dictionary.
It's a fairly intuitive process. We had a question a few days ago from a user inquiring whether there was an algorithm for Word of the Day, and there definitely is not. It's got the human touch.
That human touch is administered by Renee Hurlbutt.
My name is Renee Hurlbutt, and I do Word of the Day at dictionary.com.
I'm Jane Solomon. I'm a senior content editor and lexicographer here at dictionary.com. So that means that I work on things like defining words.
So here's how these non-algorithm humans go about choosing one word from the hundreds of thousands available in the English lexicon.
It starts with us being word lovers. It starts with us being very excited to discover new words. So it starts with us mapping out the month and noting what holidays there are, what notable days there are that we might want to give a nod to with our word selection. And then really, we're just in deep discovery mode of, and we're drawing from the reading that we do. We're all voracious readers. That's an essential part of the job. It comes from careful listening to conversations around you. You know, a few weeks ago, I was with my dad and he said some silly word. I think he said namby-pamby, and immediately my word of the day radar went off. And I was like, that's a fun one. A lot of it, I think, just comes from recalibrating the way that you're listening as you're moving through the world. And some of it comes from looking into our trending data to see what kinds of words people are curious about. Some of it comes from looking on social media and seeing how people are responding to certain types of words.
On dictionary.com's Your Word Wednesday, users submit words they want to see as word of the day.
Occasionally we'll see a word that 15 people have submitted. So it's clearly we've got to go with wanderlust this time.
Yeah, wanderlust, I think defenestrate.
I mean, there are some
people love those words.
There are some that just are always going to be requested. Defenestrate, I think, is just a combination of it sounds funny. It's got such a specific meaning that seems like it wouldn't be useful ever. So why was the word ever coined? But it's got a really interesting history.
The defenestration of Prague.
Yes. the defenestration
that one,
of Prague.
Not to be confused with all the other defenestrations that have happened throughout time.
Yeah. It's confusing enough that there are various different defenestrations of Prague, but the one usually being referred to as the defenestration of Prague took place on the 23rd of May 1618, when during religious and political upheaval, Catholic Lord Regents were tried, found guilty and defenestrated, thrown out of the window. They did survive. The Catholics believed the Virgin Mary caught them. The Protestants that did the defenestrating claimed the fall was broken by a pile of manure. Whatever happened, it sparked the 30 Years' War. Defenestration.
But it's very fun to look at their submissions. And yeah, they always submit a reason. So sometimes it's personal. Sometimes they've encountered it in a book. But it's just fun to see how much they love it, too. How excited they are about word discovery. And one that comes to mind was slugabed, which is such a great word. And there was some story about how the guy who submitted it said that his wife always described him that way. And so, you know, you get those little anecdotes from
the divorce courts.
One time I saw a user submitted the word lonely, and the reasoning behind it was because I'm lonely.
I feel there is a lot to unpick in that statement. But often the word of the day aficionados seek simple pleasures.
People really like words that sound silly, you know, compound words that just have a lot of elements to them that, you know, like catawampus. People are always going to love the word catawampus. And I think that it's just how it sounds, you know, those Lewis Carroll-esque words that just are fun to say. Oh, we recently did waffle stompers. It was one of those words that just has that je ne sais quoi of being so silly that, you know, you're going to get a rise out of people in a good way, which waffle stompers are hiking boots. But it's so much more fun to say, I'm going to put on my waffle stompers and hit the trail. Why would you ever say hiking boots again?
We had a lot of like cat words. Like an elderly.
I don't know if we had a lot of them, but we're not afraid to pander occasionally.
The internet loves cats.
We had allurophilia, which is the love of cats.
What was the word for elderly cat?
Grimalkin.
That was a good one.
Okay, cats, fine. You win another corner of the internet. What else do people want from the word of the day?
Oh, users really like agent nouns. So a person who, definition.
Quidnunc.
Quidnunc, noun, a person who is eager to know the latest news and gossip.
Blue stocking, gape seed.
Gape seed? What's one of those?
A person who stares in wonder.
There are 19 million linguistics gape seeds subscribing to the Word of the Day email. I think the question any listener to this podcast will be asking is, why on earth is anyone interested in words and where they come from?
Oh, man, I think etymology is fascinating.
I think people are interested in a rough idea of when a word entered the language, which is something we always put in our etymologies if we can find it. And people are also interested in what language it came from in the literal translation.
It illuminates something new about the word as it's used today that you might not have really thought about. But it oftentimes when I look at etymologies and I see the earliest uses and what it's derived from, something for me clicks and I think, oh yes, of course it comes from the word for light.
Or, of course, that's related to that other word that is similar, but I never made that connection before.
So it's almost a revealing of this system that is always there that we are not really cognizant of. These words make sense.
If you go back far enough,
if you go
find
back
it.
Far enough, a lot of these words make sense.
Just humans made a lot of strange looking decisions in the interim.
Yes. And English is such a mishmash of so many different influences. But I think that etymology is a little bit like it's a treasure hunt.
And sometimes at the end there's just a shoebox full of rocks.
Actually, most of the time. But that's okay because rocks are great.
As well as being a prism through which to view the history of humans, a dictionary can be really quite revealing about one's own psyche, as Jane herself discovered the first time she ever read a dictionary cover to cover during a proofreading job.
I think that we bring our own experiences into the words that we look up in a dictionary. And when I was proofreading this dictionary, it just so happened to align with a really hard breakup I was going through. And as I was proofreading it, what left a mark on me were all these words related to relationships, like boyfriend and love and cherish and all these words. So that's what I took away from reading a dictionary straight through. When you're reading a dictionary straight through, you're really reading what's going on in your own head.
Dictionary therapy. Has anyone made a career out of that yet? If not, the field is wide open, listeners.
Why are you interested in words?
Oh my. I saw a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. The gist of it was that when you see something genius or when you see something creative out in the world, often that feeling you get of seeing it and taking it in is really a moment of seeing something in yourself reflected, some thought you had once had or some feeling that you had once experienced, but you hadn't externalized and you hadn't brought it out into the world. And so I think that with words, often it's giving face to and it's externalizing all of these interior parts of ourselves. And that's a very exciting thing.
Whether or not you like words, you have to use them. Or you have to use some form of communication. And it's just nice if you like them and you take joy in your word choice and in knowing different ways you can communicate the same thing.
Loving language, loving words, a lot of it, if you boil it down, comes down to connection with other people and just connection with the world, because what words are for a lot of us are tools to help us get at these moments and get at these parts of ourselves. And the more tools that we have, the more that we can connect, the more that we can fine-tune what we're trying to say about ourselves and what we want people to know about us and what we need and all of the span, and the more we can connect.
Thanks to Jane Solomon and Renee Hurlbutt. You can subscribe to the Word of the Day at dictionary.com. And if you don't have it already, download the app. It's the first app I ever got, and I still use it every day because you'd be surprised at how often you need to look up etymology on the fly. In fact, I was using the app's thesaurus function when I came up with the name of this show. Your manually chosen, genuinely randomly selected word from the dictionary today is misprision, noun, the deliberate concealment of one's knowledge of a crime. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. The music is by Martin Austwick. You'll find me at Twitter and Facebook / Allusionist Show and at theallusionist.org.